So in the in our evening services, we have been going thematically through Proverbs. This evening, we get to talk about words, about our speech, about what we say and the way that we say them. And we're probably going to actually be in, we will be a little bit in Proverbs 15 to 17, but we'll be jumping around in a number of different places, as well as in James tonight. And I'm going to open with, I think, one of the starkest statements that Proverbs makes about our words, and that's in Proverbs 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful things. The truth spoken eloquently and succinctly can stir our hearts to do what is good, to love what is beautiful, to believe what is true. Something true said in just a few words is remembered and applied long after what is said with many words in a rambling way is forgotten. And likewise, hurtful words can cut deep and do harm to our sense of security, our confidence, or even our faith. Words can be full of meaning or completely empty and vapid. Words can convey iridescent beauty or spread pernicious evil. Yet, interestingly, our own Proverbs, not the biblical ones, but the maxims that we sort of pass around in our day-to-day life, have a tendency to try to downplay the effect of our words, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And whoever wrote that or came up with that snappy little saying either didn't understand the power of words or had never experienced the taunts of an acquaintance or the insults of an enemy or the gossip of a friend. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, how do we use our words well? How do we use our words well? And there are many things that we could say, and indeed Proverbs says many things about the way that we speak. Quite a few of them are grouped together in these three chapters, 15, 16, and 17. But we will focus on just a few things, sort of two main things that we want to say about how we use our words well. And the first is this, that the best words are managed. The best words are managed. And by that, I mean three basic things. First, that they are honest. That the best words are honest. Look in chapter 16 and verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. Now, the proverb here in verse 16 speaks of those that a king should choose to be his closest advisors, okay? But it's not just relegated to kings. This is true for friends, it's true for confidants, for advisors, for each one of us. A person who just lies to keep us happy, who says that everything is well when everything is not well, or who always cries that the sky is falling when it is in fact not, is not helpful or wise. Righteous lips are a delight to anyone. It's important to be honest, which essentially means it's important for us to take our words seriously, to be careful about the things that we say, and then to be deliberate about what we say, when we do, and following through on them. It's important to be honest. That means being prudent with our words. Speaking personally, I will very rarely intentionally lie. Now, I do that sometimes, and that is very clearly wrong. Well, what I'm saying is this. For a long time, I had a habit of saying I would do something, usually to my wife, and then forgetting about it. It would just leave my mind. And it wasn't that I was intentionally lying. It's not that I said I would do something really knowing that I had no intention of doing it. It was simply that I was careless with my words. that it didn't matter to me what I had said. It wasn't particularly important that I followed through on the things that I said I would do. I recall a time when we lived in Missouri that Katie knew that we were going to be passing some antique shops on the route that we were driving that day. And if you know her, you know that she likes such things. And so she asked if we could stop there when we were driving past later in the day, and I said yes. And then she asked, "Do you promise?" Over the years, she had learned that if I said I would do something, that didn't necessarily mean that I would do it. And that's a problem, because the best words are honest. And that means more than just not lying. It means that we take our words seriously. We take our words seriously. Okay, so the best words are managed. The first thing that means is that they're honest. It also means that they are few. That they are few. Chapter 17 and verse 28. "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." And chapter 10, verse 19. "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Whoever restrains his lips is prudent, and even a fool may be thought intelligent if he stays quiet. We have our own, right? Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. The person who loves to talk, who has to get his two cents in on absolutely every single thing, who loves to pontificate about things even if he knows very little about them, is simply not wise. Running at the mouth is just not wise. The wisest men and women I know, the ones I always listen to when they speak, the ones I assign the most weight to when they open their mouths, when there is a big decision to be made or a serious topic is at hand, they are not the ones who keep talking and talking and talking until everyone else finally gives up and just lets them have their say, or they agree just so they'll be quiet. They are the ones who listen and listen and listen and wait and ask questions and then speak briefly. The best talk is few. The best words are few. When words are many, you are bound to say something stupid, is what chapter 10 says. The man or woman who runs their mouth rarely ingratiates themselves that way, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent, chapter 10 says. Okay, so the best words are honest, are managed, which means they are honest, they are few, and lastly, they are calm. They are calm. Chapter 18 and verse 13. "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." And chapter 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And lastly, chapter 25 and verse 15. "With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." All right. By this we mean that the best words can wait until an entire matter is heard before speaking. That they are not excitable and fervent, but deliberate and even sometimes soft, and they are patient. They are willing to hear before they speak. It's hard to take seriously people who rant and rave, and that's not some fault on our part. It's because ranting and raving communicates foolishness. It doesn't communicate wisdom, self-control, faithfulness, patience. They are fruit of the Spirit that are hallmarks of wise speech. Hallmarks of it. Okay, so we said that that the best words are managed, and the second thing is this, and I love this. The second thing is this: the best words are actions. The best words are actions. Talk is cheap if it's not followed by corresponding actions. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. And this is an idea that is picked up also in the in what is essentially the wisdom book of the New Testament in James. And in James chapter 1, starting at verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. It's one thing to be able to say all of the right things. That's good enough. But if saying is not followed by doing, then the saying is worthless. It's meaningless. It's just empty. If I finish my message tonight and then talk over everyone, yell at three people before I leave, and say I am, in fact, Superman, you will probably be less likely to listen to what I have to say about wisdom and speech, even though Proverbs may still be true. And this seems to be what James is getting at when he talks about those who are religious but will not bridle their tongues. It's what he means when he says that we should be doers of the word and not just hearers. We can say all we want about imitating Christ, about loving our neighbor, but if we refuse to visit widows and orphans in their distress, then what good are our words? And he picks up on this again in the second chapter, James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The best words are actions. But we'll close with this. But thank the Lord that Jesus is faithful to faithful sinners like us. As Paul says in 2 Timothy, when we are faithless, he is faithful. If we have spoken falsely or hastily or angrily, if we have failed to act like we speak, Jesus is faithful when we are faithless. His blood will cover every foolish spoken word. So we ought to confess our sin and our folly and find forgiveness from him who is wisdom in the flesh. But we also ought to take our forgiveness and ask the Lord to bridle our tongues, to speak truthfully and sparingly and calmly, to follow up our words with deeds, for that is the kind of faith that saves, as James would say. It is a living faith. And praise the Lord, whose word to us is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and he always speaks truthfully. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you, and we know that often with the same tongue we offer you praise and curse men who are made in the image of God, and that this ought not to be. So, Father, we pray, help us to bridle our tongues, that even the words that we speak might be more like the beautiful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That in our honesty, in our self-control, and in our patience with our speech, we might be more like Jesus. And that in our willingness to follow up what we say with what we do might also be like the Lord Jesus, who promises, who not only promises to save the worst of sinners who believe in him, but actually accomplishes it. So, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our hasty and foolish speech. Forgive us for not following through on the things that we say, for not taking our words seriously. Having forgiven us, give us your Spirit and a great measure of it to reform our speech, to make us more like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.